Lord, I sanctify my mind, my thoughts, my words, by the blood of Jesus today. Let my words be according to the mind of the Spirit of God. And let the entrance of your word bring light. Let it give understanding to every one of us today. And grant us the grace to do according to your will. Always, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today, in our Overcome series, overcome these things that enemy throws at us, try to throw us off our game and off track. We're going to be covering disobedience and rebellion. Disobedience and rebellion. And what is the antidote for disobedience and rebellion? Well, you guessed it. Obedience and keeping God's commandments. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Praise the Lord. We see, if we look at the story in Genesis, right from the beginning, we are told that it was indeed disobedience that made man to lose everything. Let's read a kickoff scripture here from Romans chapter 5 to help us understand, you know, the contrast between disobedience and obedience. Now, we know this Romans chapter 5 spent a lot of time in dealing with, you know, how sin entered into the world and so forth, and how, you know, Jesus paid the price for the remission of our sins. So I'm going to just read some text here, you know, from verse 12 of Romans 5. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned according to the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, who is also his free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was, you know, one man that sinned, so the gift. So it's contrasting the sin, you know, Adam versus the gift of the grace of God through our Lord Jesus. The judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now listen to this, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many, in fact, all were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Isn't that wonderful? Well, wherefore the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did also much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even now might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Very, very rich lesson in that text. But the key verse that we want to deal with this morning is verse 19. As by the disobedience of one man, all were made sinners. All right, so let's think about that disobedience. You know, what was it that, you know, God intended for Adam to have? It was a lot of things. Now, you know, make man in our image and likeness and let him have dominion. He did. He was made in his image and likeness. And then God committed dominion into his hands. And so God intended him to have dominion. And through that dominion, well, you know, even in that dominion, I should say, there was a commandment given, you know, and some instructions of what they might freely do and what they should not do. You know, of all the trees that are in the garden, thou may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. You know, so there was a commandment given, point blank, don't do it now. And disobedience crept in. Well, unfortunately, Adam himself was not deceived. He knew what he was, exactly what he was doing. You know, Eve was the one that was deceived into thinking that what God said or meant was not actually, you know, the case. You know, I mean, or what God said was, you know, not what the case was. The devil got her to doubt the integrity of God's word. You shall not surely die. Because God already knows that if you have eat this thing, you will be have knowledge and be like the gods and so on. You know, so by the time she turned around and gave it to Adam, he knew point blank exactly what he was doing. And he should have refused. You know, it would have been better for him to lose his wife than to lose the glory of God. You know, well, he chose his wife. He chose to disobey the commandment. Now, through his disobedience, we see that sin entered into the world, and through sin, death passed unto all. And now everyone that comes into the world is born into darkness until receive the light through the Christ. So, see how great disobedience was. And if it was disobedience that caused Adam to lose everything for mankind, then it's going to be obedience that's going to get us to get it back. It started by the obedience of one man, Christ. You know, and then he caused righteousness to pass unto us. But then we, in turn, must continue to obey. Now, in the Old Testament, the way that God dealt with the people most of the time was obey my voice, obey my voice. It was always his commandment. Let's read a few things here in Exodus 19 and 5. And we've alluded to this scripture multiple times. This was the invitation that the Lord, you know, gave to the children of Israel. But it came also, you know, with a condition. That condition carried inherently a commandment. And here's what he said in Exodus 19 and 5. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed. So we see that there is an obeying there. We must obey his voice. He wanted them to obey his voice. If you will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my commandment. So they got to do those two things. Obey his voice, keep his covenant. Then he said, well, then you'll be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. And so on. Now, these are the words that you should speak to the children of Israel. And Moses did speak it to them. So, obey my voice. Obey my voice. It's what the Lord always told them. You know, and keep the commandments of the Lord. In fact, all of the promises, you know, that he gave them many times, they were always surrounded and shrouded with, you know, conditions of obedience and keeping of the commandments of the Lord. Let's read this great promise in Exodus 15 and 26. This is a well-known area of scripture. But here's what the Lord said to them. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. So again, we see the, you know, hearken and obey my voice there. And will do that which is right in his sight. Well, and will give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes. So all these four things, they're all the same as obedience and keeping his commandments. You know, obey, obey, obey. If you will diligently hearken to his voice and do that which is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. Now that's all, not some. Then he said, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. But see, we got to do all these things. We got to hearken to his voice. We got to do that which is right in his sight. Not the one, not what's right in our own eyes or in the eyes of the world, you know, but what is right. And that's righteousness. Righteousness is actually doing what is right in God's sight. And he will give ear to his commandments, keep his statutes. Then we inherit, you know, promises such as, you know, divine healing and health and deliverance from sicknesses and diseases. So we see that that's how, you know, for the most part, you know, the Lord dealt with them throughout the lessons that we read in the Old Testament. There are many more, but I'm going to move on, you know, just to get along through this lesson for the sake of time. We see that the Word of God contains many instructions and statutes, commandments, and etc. And in the book of Psalm 119, the whole chapter, which is, you know, the, I mean, longest book in terms of verses and so on, in that whole Bible, we see all the things that the psalmist said about, you know, the word of God, the law, his statutes, his commandments, and so forth. I mean, it was all about keeping the word of God. That's all he said. 176 verses or so in that Psalm 119. But it's mostly all about keeping his word. He might call it statutes. He might call it ordinances. He might call it his law. You know, I might call it even his testament. You know, whatever it is, he focused throughout that very long chapter about keeping the word and the benefits of even keeping the word. How the word can keep you from evil. How the word, keeping the word, is the one that can, you know, give you access to many things. I mean, it's just, he went on and on and on and on throughout the place. Blessed are the undefiled in the way he starts, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Also, they do no iniquity and so forth. You know, thou hast commanded us. In verse 4, he said, to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then, see, shall I not be ashamed when I shall have respect unto all thy commandments, and so on and so forth. And throughout this long book, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. On and on and on. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word. You know, and so on and so forth. Hide me not, O Lord. I mean, hide not thy commandments from me, and so on. I mean, just kept on and on and on about the word of God, you know, throughout this whole long lesson. I'm not going to read it all. You can read it on your own. Everything he talks about, teach me, O Lord, thy way, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. It's all about keeping God's word. this long psalm. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear, and so on and so forth. You know, I mean, take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. Continually they are before me. I seek thy precepts, you know, and I will delight myself in thy commandments. That's, you know, verse 47. I'm just skipping through all of these, you know, and he says, look, I remember thy judgments of old and so forth. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. You know, every couple of verses he's turning to his testimonies, I mean, testimonies of the Lord, his commandments, his statutes, and his precepts. You know, I thought on my ways, he said, and turned my feet to thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. You know, so throughout these, he talked about it. Teach me good judgment and knowledge. I believe thy commandments. But look at the flip side of not keeping his word. In verse 67 of Psalm 119, he says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, you know, but now I have kept thy word. So he's saying, look, that affliction did not come, you know, while I was on the path, but when I went astray from keeping thy commandments, that's when that affliction came. But now I have returned to keeping thy words. He said, look, I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Hallelujah. You know, I will keep thy precepts. He said, he even said, look, it's good for me that I have been afflicted so that I may learn thy precepts. And the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. And on and on and on. Talks about keeping his commandments. Let those that fear thee turn unto thee, and those that have known thy testimonies, you know, and so forth. Let the heart, my heart, be sound in thy statutes, that I may not be ashamed. My soul fainted for thy salvation, but when I hope in thy word, he said, my eyes even fail for thy word. I want to see thy word. I want to hear it, you know, and so forth. You know, every day, all thy commandments, he said, are faithful. They, you know, all thy commandments, he said, they are faithful. And then verse 89, he said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in the heaven. And it's also settled in my heart. And let's pray that this word will be settled in my heart. I will never, he said, forget thy precepts. We're down to verse 93 now. You know, I will never forget thy precepts. You know, I will consider thy testimonies, you know, and so forth. Thy commandments I will keep. Oh, he said in verse 97, I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And through thy commandment hast thou made me wiser than my enemies. So you see how he puts value on keeping the commandments. You know, I have even more understanding than my teachers, because your commandments are ever with me. Your testimonies are my meditation. You know, and, you know, because of keeping your word, he said, I understand even more than the ancients, because I have kept thy precepts, you know, and so on. And thy word, he said, is a lamp unto my feet. That's 105. And a light unto my path, you know. And he says, my soul is continually in my hand. But no matter what I go through, I will not forget thy law. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart. I mean, see the value that this man places on keeping the word of God. And he says, look, uphold me, Lord, according to thy word, that I may live. Let me not be ashamed of my hope. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. So whether he calls his statutes, testimonies, law, precepts, or commandments, he's talking about the same thing. Or even thy law, he's talking about the word of God. He said, look, you know, show me understanding, Lord. Let me know and keep thy word. You know, he said, I love thy commandments. Philippians 1, verse 127. Above gold, yea, above fine gold. I mean, look at the value he places on God's word. You know, therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. Now, this man, he knew that the word of God is always right. Even if he didn't understand it, you know, God's word must be right. My own thinking must be wrong if they are contrary to one or the other. You know, so I, you know, he said, look, I esteem that all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Thy testimonies are wonderful. You know, and then it goes through my favorite verse. The entrance of thy words give light. And it gives understanding unto the simple. That's verse 130. I say that every single day. And he said, look, I've longed for thy commandments. Order my steps, O Lord, according to thy word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. You know, I will keep thy precepts and so forth. And thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and they are faithful. And I will not forget thy precepts. You know, and he said, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. You know, and I cried with my whole heart unto the Lord, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes, and I shall keep thy testimonies. Hear my voice, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness, quicken me according to thy judgments. You know, and so forth. Let me not be far from thy word. And on and on and on. And finally, he said, look, Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul have kept thy testimonies and I love them exceedingly. That's verse 167. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies. Thy ways are always before me, you know, and my ways are before you as well. You know, Lord, give me understanding, he said, according to thy word. Remember, the entrance of his word, you know, brings light and gives understanding. All thy commandments are righteous, he said, and so on and so forth. Finally, you know, he said, I do not forget thy commandments. I mean, you can read all of it. I skipped through and just read a few verses here and there. But that whole 176 verses, all of it talking about keeping his commandments, pursuing after his, what he called precepts and statutes and law and testimonies and ordinances. Powerful stuff. You know, so, but when we don't do that, then we are living in disobedience and rebellion. Well, let's read some things in the Old Testament again, and then we'll come back to the New. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 1. And this is how God always dealt with them back then. He gave them commandments. You know, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge. And his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always, you know, so that, you know, that's the commandment the Lord gave. And he instructed them to do that. When we don't do the word of God, like he said, then it is called disobedience. And that's what it is called. And let's look at a classic story of disobedience. When we think that we've done the word of God without really doing it according to how he said. Yeah, yesterday we talked about, you know, intentionally keeping his word. Well, if the Lord gives commandments, it's the same thing as well. You got to do it exactly like he says. You can't do what you think and then argue that you've done it. You know, a classic story, you know, is the story of Saul. You know, Saul was giving commandment, go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. First Samuel 15, you know, and verse 3. That was the instruction that came to Saul through Samuel the prophet. You know, and, you know, Saul did some of it. Verse 7 says, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou come to Shur, which is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and his people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and lambs and so forth. All that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. Well, is that what God said? No. But everything that was vile and refuse, those they destroyed. But everything that looked good, they kept. Because now they are going to use their judgment, their own judgment, to try to analyze what God said. God said, destroy everything. Save nothing. Man and beast, everything. Destroy them all. Well, they went in there and they did some of it. They looked at everything that was bad, that was profane, and they destroyed it. But they looked at the stuff that was good and they made a decision to not destroy it and keep that. Keep even the king. You know, and the word of the Lord came unto Samuel and said, you know, I have repented that I set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. Now you can see how disobedience can make someone to lose their position with God. Same as Adam, you know, so, and he grieved Samuel and he cried unto the Lord all night, you know, and so forth. So finally, Samuel went and met Saul, and Saul greeted him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed. Now listen to this. Saul actually thought that he had performed the commandment of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord, he said. And Samuel said, really? But then what is the meaning of all this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear? And Paul said, well, yeah, these ones we brought, you know, from the Amalekites, you know, the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to make sacrifice unto the Lord. So he's not going to make excuse. We kept these things back so that we can sacrifice them unto the Lord. But all the profane things and so forth, we have destroyed. But we looked out the best of the oxen and so forth that were clean according to the commandment of, you know, Moses, the servant of God, so that we can, you know, make sacrifice. Yeah, and Paul said, and then Saul, Samuel said, really? Okay, you wait here. I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me. He said, say on. Then Samuel brought this thing up. You know, he said, you know, you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord. But still, Saul was arguing. He said, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, he said in verse 20. And I have gone the way which the Lord sent me. And I brought Agag, the king of Amalekite, and after he destroyed the Amalekites. But is that what God told him? No. You know, but now he's going to blame the people. But you are the king, you know. But the people took of the spoil and so on, which they should have utterly destroyed. The sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. So here's what Samuel will respond. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? I mean, so the thing that the Lord delights in is for you to obey his voice. Don't come up with any rationalization or excuses of, look, I'm doing this for the Lord. That's why I did not obey his voice. I mean, that even sounds absurd. You know, obey his voice. You know, said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. If you would have obeyed the Lord, you know, it would have been better for you to be thinking that you're keeping something back in order to sacrifice to him. To hearken is better than the fat of all these rams that you have kept back. For stubbornness, he said, look, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's the same thing. You know, everybody knows witchcraft is so bad. In fact, witches were not allowed to live in the day. You know, and he said, your rebellion is just as bad as that. You know, and as much as witches deserve to be killed and die, you know, so is a rebellious person. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Now, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. So disobedience is called rejecting the word of the Lord. It's also called rebellion. That's it, because you have disobeyed. When the commander says do something and you don't do it, well, that's rebellion. You know, that's rebellion. So rebellion and disobedience are all the same, and they're just as bad as witchcraft, he said. And stubbornness is like iniquity. When you are stubborn, you do your own will, you know, rather than the Lord doing his will. The song we played at the beginning, you know, withholding nothing. That was the reason I played that song. We must, you know, surrender our will. I surrender all to you, withholding nothing. We got to surrender our will. But when we don't, it's classified as disobedience. And again, it's also classified as rebellion. Well, because of his disobedience and because of the rebellion, he is told that the Lord has also rejected you from being king. Now, you see how serious this disobedience stuff can be. Adam lost everything through disobedience. Saul is going to lose the kingdom now through disobedience. Now, this is, you know, serious stuff. So finally, he says, well, I have sinned, I've transgressed the commandment of the Lord, you know, and so forth. He said, well, because I fear the people. Why would you fear the people? You fear the people and obey their voice. Why? You should have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a lesson for us, you know, especially those who are in leadership. Don't let the people make you do something that the Lord didn't command. And sometimes people come and give, you know, strange advice. It's like offering strange fire, which the Lord did not command. You know, a person in leadership must hear from the Lord. Listen to the people to sway you here and there. If they give good advice, like Jethro gave to Moses, that's good. But if they try to turn you away from the word of the Lord, and that's the same thing with your friend, your wife, your spouse, your husband, anybody. You know, when the Lord has commanded you one thing, if they try to turn your heart away from that thing, you better have your antennas up. You know, so because people have lost a lot. Adam lost everything. Saul here we see is losing the kingdom because of his disobedience. In fact, you know, the Lord said the kingdom will be rent from you. That's, you know, turn from you and given to someone else, given to your neighbor that is better than you, and so on. And it was a tremendous lesson that we see here. In the sense that Saul, in his ways and in his thoughts, he actually thought that he had kept the commandment of the Lord because he did part of it. But if you do part of it and you break some of it, it's like breaking all. Scripture says that keepeth the whole commandment and breaks one is guilty of all. You know, so if the Lord gives you a word and you only do part of it, and you don't do the rest, it's still called disobedience. It's the same as if you said flat out no. If the Lord tells you to do something and you say flat out no, well, we already know that's disobedience and rebellion. But what about if the Lord told you to do something and you make like you are going to do it, but you only do part of it, but you don't do it all? And that one is tricky, but it's still called disobedience and rebellion. So that's a prayer that we need to pray today. Help me, Lord, you know, to take your word 100%, you know, and not, you know, partially divide the word of God, you know, and think that, oh, well, I've done 95% of it, and that's good, you know. And in fact, some people say, you know, in the past, I've wished, you know, try to witness the scriptures and gospel to some people. They say, well, you know, I mean, I've tried my best. You know, and in the end, God will put me on a scale, you know, if I'm like 95% or 90% or 80%, then I'm good. I don't know where to get all those things from. You know, that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, you know, we must keep His commandment in its entirety, you know, so keeping and doing it partially and, you know, breaking part of it, you know, or not keeping part of it, it's just considered as obedience anyway, you know. And so let's be bear that in mind. It's a tremendous lesson, you know, that we see here. But it caused the loss of the kingdom. Is, you know, it caused this man to lose everything. He lost the kingdom. Let's read a scripture here in the book of James, chapter 2. It's going to read one verse here, verse 10. James chapter 2 and verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Now, that's some serious stuff. That's what we see here in the case of, Saul. He kept quite a bit of it. I mean, he destroyed a lot of stuff, like God said, but he broke some part. And now the scripture says, if you do that, then you are guilty of all. It's the same thing. So who then shall be saved? I mean, how can we 100% in keeping his word? Well, Jesus said, well, with man it is impossible, but not with God. So we got to rely on the Holy Spirit to help us. And when you catch yourself, the Holy Spirit convicts you of only partially sanctifying the word of God, which ultimately is rebellion and disobedience. You must immediately repent. That's right. You know, if you don't repent, then the thing becomes a snare unto your soul. So you must repent. Now let's read a few other things here. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 6 and verse 23. Now remember, we are dealing with the subject of disobedience and rebellion. And how do we turn that around? Well, we got to turn it around through obedience and keeping of the word of God. The word of God is pure, actually. According to Proverbs 6 and 23, it says, the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. So keeping the commandment will bring a light, a lamp and light to you, and you will not walk in darkness. You know, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You know, just like we read in, Psalm 119 and verse 105. We read that, you know, when I went through it very quickly there. The word of God, what it does, you know, provides, can act as a lamp, and it can also act as a light. It is a lamp to your feet where you are standing, and it is a lamp to the path ahead of you. The commandment, he said, is a lamp, and the word of the Lord is a light. Psalm 119 verse 105, that word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Same thing that is saying here in Proverbs 6 and 23. Let's see a few other commandments that the Lord gave concerning obedience and, you know, the repercussions of disobedience. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 23. Here's what the Lord said. You know, he said, the thing that I commanded to them is to obey my voice. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Walk ye in the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well with you. But he said, well, but they hearkened not, neither did they incline their ears, but they walked in the counsels and imaginations of their own evil heart. They went backward and not forward. And he said, since the day that your fathers came out of Egypt until this day, I have sent unto you all my servants and prophets, rising daily and sending them, yet you have not hearkened unto me. nor inclined your ears, but you hardened your necks and did even worse than your fathers. And the Lord, you know, was, angry. But he said, look, obey my voice and obey my words. Yeah, this is the thing, you know, that the Lord wants us to do. We're going to talk a little more about his word and his voice and so forth, you know, so that we know what we need to obey. Well, let's read, let's fast forward to the New Testament. You say, well, that's all in the Old Testament. Okay, maybe. But let's fast forward to some of the writings that we find in the texts that we have in the sections called New Testament in the Bible. This is Jesus now talking. John, you know, chapter 14. Let's see how Jesus, the value that Jesus will place on the keeping of God's commandments. John chapter 14. This is Jesus speaking now. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments now and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. What does having his commandments mean? Well, you got to know what God says. If you're not studying the word of God or reading the word of God or hearing from God, how are you going to know what God says? You need to know what God says on the subject matter. You got to do your homework concerning the word of God. Don't leave it to somebody else. That's what the greatest error of the children of Israel were in the days of Moses. They said, we cannot hear the voice of God. You go hear it and come tell it to us. So they're leaving it up to somebody else to go figure it out, you know, and then come and tell us secondhand. But that didn't work out well for them. So, you know, we need to know his commandments. If you have my commandments and you keep them, he that does that, he it is that loveth me. It's Jesus speaking now. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Now, how do you compare this to John 3:16? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Everybody knows this verse, you know, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, if God so loved the whole world, why is Jesus talking about my Father will love him and I will love him here? He already loved the whole world. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, let's break it down and call it out the way it is. There is the love of the Father that bringeth salvation. But there is also the, you know, differentiated love that God has to the one that is keeping his commandments. It's not the same. He says, God partial. Well, I'll put it to you this way. This is the man to whom I will look. Isaiah 66 and verse 2. He that trembleth at my word. You know, will God have respect unto somebody? Why, absolutely. When you tremble at his word, he has a differentiated kind of love for you. It's not the same. And so if you think that, oh, you know, God treats everybody the same on the basis of sending his son to die for the whole world. Yes, it's for everybody, you know, but whether they receive it or not, he did it for everybody. But on the basis of relational, reciprocal love, it's not the same. He that keepeth my commandments, he it is that loveth me. And he will be loved of my Father. And I will love him. This is different than John 3:16. You know, this is God, you know, now coming after you. Let's read the next two verses of John 14 and see how powerful it is when you keep his commandments. This is what Jesus said. Because the disciples even asked him, you know, well, you know, you've already told us before that God loved the whole world. Why is it then? You know, they asked him, you know, he said, well, why is it then that I will manifest myself to us and not to the world? And Jesus goes on to explain, he said, look, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. Now, so this kind of love from the Father is a differentiated kind of love, and it's reciprocal. It is in response to a person that keeping his words. It's not the John 3:16 love. It's different, you know, and here's what it comes with. It's a package. It comes with, you know, the father. He said, look, come and make our abode with him. My goodness. Yeah. You talk about, you know, you go even from visitation to habitation because you are keeping the word of God. He said, but, you know, the person that keeps not my sayings, well, you know, if you don't love me, you will not keep my sayings. Let's put it this way. If you are not keeping his commandment, it shows that we do not love him. You know, that's the way to say it. You say, you love me, well, then keep my commandments. And if you do keep my commandments, there's something as a benefit, you know. But not keeping his commandments is disobedience, and it is rebellion. Why is it rebellion? Well, rebellion is you don't put your neck under the commander. That's rebellion. You know, they can rebel from under the rule of the one that is over you and say, well, I'm not going to do it. You know, that we've seen some stories in the Bible. Sometimes Israel will rebel, you know, from underneath the hand of their oppressors. You know, sometimes some other kingdoms will rebel from underneath the hand of the Israel as well. You know, you can't rebel. You can say, I'm not going to do it. You declare independence. Well, in even the governments of this world today, you know, the powerful kingdoms that colonized different places many centuries ago, after a while, some of those places, you know, began to wise up and say, look, we want our independence. We don't want to be under your rule anymore. We want to self-govern. You know, so they would say to, you know, like nations in Africa, like Nigeria, where I grew up, they would say to, you know, people of the United Kingdom or England, look, we want our independence. This is some kind of rebellion. And when you do that, that's okay. Then you have to start fending for yourself now. Because the inner kingdom was in the past responsible for their colonies when they were underneath them. Well, when the colony now says, no, I don't want to do that anymore. I want my independence. Well, then that kingdom washes their hands off. Now they are on their own. And they may be prematurely declaring that independence. And so they become underdeveloped because now you have to fend for yourself. So the more you disobey God, the more you are declaring your independence from his ways. And then that means the more you have to fend for yourself. You know, so if you are, and take that down because that's a punchline from today. You know, when we are obeying God, following his ways, well, we are under his rule, but we put our neck under his yoke. That's right. Everybody is yoked. Nobody can be yokeless. You are either yoked to the Lord, take my yoke upon you, he said. You know, or you are yoked to the devil or the world or to sin. But so, but when we obey him and then, you know, we put our necks under his yoke, in doing what he says, and we do. No questions asked. Then he's duty bound to protect your interests because now you under him. But if you say, no, I'll do my own thing. And we may not know that that's what we are saying when we disobey God's word, but that's what we are saying and that's what we are doing. But God said, do it this way. He said, no, I'm going to do it some other way. Or God said, do this and this and this. And you say, well, I'll do this and this, but not that and that. That's what Saul did. It's still called rebellion, disobedience, and rebellion. So, let us not walk away from, you know, being under his canopy through disobedience. You know, disobedience will do that. You know, and Adam had to fend for himself after that. And Saul himself became a castaway from, he lost the kingdom because of disobedience. So, this is really powerful. A lesson. You know, on the other hand, a person who is obeying the Lord, this is what the Lord would say about them. You know, in the book of John, chapter 15, let's read just one verse out of that. It's another good lesson that the Lord is teaching here. And he would say, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You know, there's a song that says, I am the friend of God and so forth. And every time I listen to that song, I am a friend of God and so on. Every time I listen to that song, I pause and say, really? You are my friends only if you do whatsoever I command you. You are not just his friend. You can't just lay claim to it. Jesus put it out here. That definition of being my friend is you do what I command you. The Lord says, and we do. End of story. There's no argument about it. Now, when you argue, when you change his word, that's rebellion. You know, so now, if you want to be his friend, then do his commandment. Praise the Lord. You know, so this is revelatory stuff for us today. Don't claim to be his friend if you are not doing his commandments. You know, he said, well, you call me master, master, but you don't do what I say. Well, and then you are none of his. That's not the way it works. We must keep his word. Praise God. You know, even the Holy Spirit, we are told, is given to those that obey him. Acts chapter 5 and verse 32 says that the Holy Spirit is given to them that obey him. Now, so if you are not obedient, maybe you either you grieve the Holy Spirit or he won't even come to you at all. And if he did come and you are disobedient, maybe you grieve him. Because that's what Acts 5:32 says. Holy Spirit is given to them that obey him. You know, now, there are some things we can obey. And this is how Romans chapter 6 defines, you know, obedience and so forth. If you obey sin, you know, Romans chapter 6 verse 16 says, well, you become servant of sin. And that brings death, he said. But if you obey the Lord, you know, and righteousness, you become the servant of righteousness, and that brings life. So let's read this one verse in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Don't you know that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey? If you obey sin, well, you yield yourselves servants of sin unto death. And if you obey, you know, righteousness, well, and then, you know, you become, you know, obedience, you know, your obedience will lead to righteousness. Praise the Lord. But he said, well, thanks be unto God that you were at one point servants of sin, but you have now obeyed from your heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being therefore made free from sin, you now became servants of righteousness. So don't go back into the other, is what, you know, he is saying here. So, you know, we've seen how dangerous the disobedience and rebellion can be, cause the loss of everything for Adam, cause the loss of the kingdom for Saul, etc. Well, you know, obedience is important. Even the epistle writers, they wrote about it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, you know, Peter would even write about it, that, you know, he puts it as a global calling. And that's how he put it. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. He said, you are elected, you are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, so we are elected unto obedience. Obedience is so powerful. It's in the mind of God from the beginning. And we must obey his ways. You know, he wrote the manual, if you want to put it that way. So put it out there. Obey the manual. Follow his leading and so forth. You know, so that's, you know, powerful stuff. That's how you overcome disobedience and rebellion. is simply by obeying his word. It may not be easy at times, but you got to do it. There are two types of obedience. These are explained in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. You know, this gives you two types of obedience. It says here. Now, let's read it together and try to understand it. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Well, why? Because we keep his commandments. So obedience is so key for us to getting our prayers answered. It's even here. Whatever you ask, you receive because you keep his commandments. Now, the flip side of that is, well, if you are not keeping his commandments, maybe you get it, maybe you won't get it. Most likely, maybe you won't get it. But when you keep his commandments, it is guaranteed that you will get what you ask of him, as long as it's according to his will. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Well, so we see two types of obedience here. There is what I call active obedience, which is God has commanded something and you do it. You are actively, intentionally obeying what he said. And then there is passive obedience, which is, you know, you're just doing the things that are pleasing to him. You know, he may or may not have point blank commanded it, but you know what pleases him and you know what does not please him. So even there may be no point blank commandment, but you know this doesn't please the Father or doesn't glorify the Father. Some people would like to argue about all kinds of things. Well, the Bible doesn't say you shouldn't drink this and that and all kinds of things. Bible doesn't say you shouldn't smoke. Shouldn't do all these things. They argue. Well, but does it please the Father? You know, and so on. You know, are you living for yourself or are you living for the Lord? You know, one time, let me tell you even something funny. One time many years ago, I was in college, in the university in Nigeria. I was trying to share the gospel with someone who had a cigarette and so forth, blowing in my face. And I was telling him that, look, and he put that away. And he said, well, Bible doesn't say you shouldn't smoke. He actually went as far as telling me, he said, well, Jesus said that, you know, whatever goes into your mouth does not defile you and so forth. But what comes out of your mouth? And he would start trying to quote the scriptures. I said, oh, really? Jesus said that. I said, yeah. I said, well, that's true. I said, yeah. So every time you puff that smoke out of your mouth, it defiles you. I got the last laugh on that one. You know, I was one smart aleck back in the day. You know, if you tell me something, I'll come back. I always had a rebuttal of sorts. You know, I said, well, you know, you smoke that thing, it doesn't defile me. I said, yeah, when you puff it out, Jesus said, when it comes out of your mouth, it defiles you. So anyway, that's just funny. But, you know, people, look, they like to say all kinds of things, prove this stubbornness as iniquity and rebellion is all the same thing. But, you know, here is the man to whom the Lord will look. Not only does he keep the Lord's commandment, but also does the things that are pleasing in God's sight. Now, that's a passive part of his will, and that's so powerful. You know, it's not every time, oh, God didn't say this, God didn't do that. You know, the Holy Spirit is leading you. You know what's pleasing in his sight or not. And he will lead you to do only what's pleasing in his sight. That's called passively keeping his will, doing what's pleasing in his sight. Well, if you do these two things, actively keep his commandments and passively do the things that are pleasing in his sight, you will then get whatsoever you ask of him. 1 John 3:22. That's so powerful. Now, so that's a big lesson, you know, for us today. Praise the Lord. Now, let me also read to you a few more verses here quickly. In 1 John chapter 5, let's read the first verses 2 and 3, rather. Of 1 John chapter 5. You know, well, we can even read it from verse 1 if you want. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. I'll leave that one alone. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God, we also keep his commandments. Well, basically, if you love someone, you will love their children also, is what he's saying here. If you love somebody, you will love also the person that is begotten of him, you know. There are some of my friends that I don't know their children well, but if I know they're the children of that my friend, I just naturally love them because I love that my friend. You know, that's what he's saying here. If you love the father, you love the son, you know, just because he's the son of this father that you love. You may not have a direct relationship with their children, but because they are the children of your, you know, bosom friend, you love them anyway. You know, if they were to introduce themselves as a child of your friend, my goodness, you immediately love them. You don't know them, but you love them because they are the children of somebody you love. Well, this lesson is the same thing for us. If we say we love God, then we should love all his children. You know, if somebody were to introduce themselves to you as a child of God, you know, then you should immediately love them. If you love their father, you know, that's it. Same thing in the natural world, same thing in the spiritual world. Now, and this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. You know, Jesus said it himself. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, so this is the love of God. If you love me, remember John is the one that wrote the place where Jesus said it in John 14 and 15. Straighten it here again. You know, if you love me, keep my commandments. And his commandments are not grievous, or they are not burdensome. They are not like things that you can't keep. God wouldn't tell you to do it or ask of you to do it if he knows you couldn't do it anyway. You know, that would be unfair. You know, I mean, that's the, you know, that's the tactic of Pharaoh and taskmasters. That's not God. Pharaoh is the one that will put a burden on them to know that he knows they can't fulfill. Take away the straw and take away the, you know, elements that they can use to make brick and tell them, go make the brick anyway, because he knows they can't do it. That's Pharaoh. God doesn't do that. Praise God. As a matter of fact, you know, we are told that the Lord will not allow or put anything on you or allow you to go through anything other than what you can bear. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. You know, so we know that God doesn't do like Pharaoh or the devil does. Now, let's read a couple more verses real quickly here. There is some benefits, other benefits for keeping his commandments. Now, remember, the keeping of his commandments and doing the will of God, these are the antidote to the things that should not follow you. Rebellion and disobedience, those are what should not follow you. That's today's lesson. But the antidote is obedience and keeping his commandments. All the way to the book of Revelation, we see it from Genesis about obedience and disobedience. And we see that in the book of clear on through the book of Revelation, he's still talking about it. The whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the span of all that, still talking about obedience and disobedience. Revelation 22, you know, and verse 14. But let me read it from verse 12. And behold, I come quickly. Now, this is Christ talking now. In fact, let me read it from verse 10 to give you some context. You know, so the angel, you know, told him a lot of things, and he was about to fall down and worship the feet of the angel. And the angel said to him, see thou do it not. This is in verse 9. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of this book. Now, keeping the sayings of this book, they're very important. Revelation 1 and verse 3 tells us that blessed are those that hear the words of the prophecy of this book. Keep those things that are written therein, whether you read it or hear it, and then you keep those things, for the time is at hand. That's a blessing just for reading the book and for hearing it, whether it's preached or you're reading it, but more importantly, for keeping the things that are written therein. Now, he says here, and this angel that John thought was an angel the whole time, you know, it was actually one of the departed prophets because he introduced himself here. He didn't tell him his name, but he said, look, I am one of thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets. So if you think that, you know, when people die and go away, you know, they're just out there doing nothing, rotting away somewhere, think again. You know, here is an indication of someone that was of thy brethren, the prophets. We don't know who he was. You know, that is showing this man this thing. And he telling him, pointing to Christ. And that's what a true prophet will do. They won't take any worship. Today, oh no, these prophets today, they want worship. You know, I mean, they raise themselves up above the people. You remember, Saul was head and shoulders above the people. Everybody want to be above the people. You know, so this today they want to be above the people as well. But this man said, no, don't worship me. Worship God. Why? Well, because in Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, he did the same thing, told him. He said, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The real, if you want to have discernment and the designing of spirit to see what spirit is behind a prophecy or a prophet, see if they testify of the Christ. You know, that's what Revelation chapter 19 verse 10 says. If they testify of the Christ, and that's a true, you know, that's a true prophet, and a true prophecy. It must point to Christ. Now, but if they point to themselves, you know, to gain worship of men and so forth, and, you know, admiration and adoration and lord it over people, well, then beware of such people. And he said, look, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And back to Revelation 22 and verse 11. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. There's a coming a time that God is going to seal it. It's over. It's done. There will be no more crossing back and forth. You can't cross the line. You know, if you are holy, you will be holy. If you are righteous, you'll be righteous. That's it. It's over. You know, now God's giving people a long rope to pull. But there's coming a time that he's going to draw that line in the sand, proverbially. And then you can't do either way anymore. If you're holy, you remain holy. If you're righteous, you remain righteous. It's over. You can't do it any which way. But he's saying for now, you know, you still have an opportunity. And behold, I come quickly. He's now speaking for the Lord. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And blessed are they. This is really where I was going. I just read all of that for context. Blessed are they that do his commandments. And we started with commandment in the Garden of Eden. Now, in the book of Revelation, we're still talking about commandment to the same, you know, the tree of life that Adam lost because he failed, I mean, the right to the tree of life because he failed to keep his word. Revelation 22 verse 14 is still talking about the same thing. If you do his commandments, you will have right to the tree of life. Hallelujah. You know, and they will be able to enter in through the gates of the city. So, you know, from beginning to the end, in this great book called the Bible, it's all about keeping his commandments. And at the end, again, there's still a promise of those, for those that keep his commandments, they will have right to the tree of life, the right which Adam lost. Those that keep his commandments will have right to that tree. Now, someday I'm going to come back and talk about that tree of life and what it means. I'm also going to talk about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, what the mystery of iniquity means. You know, what is the mystery of godliness means. Mystery of godliness wrapped up in that tree of life. Mystery of iniquity is wrapped up in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But if you keep his commandments, you will have right to the tree of life. Praise the Lord. Well, that's our lesson today. We've talked about disobedience and rebellion. And on the flip hand, we've talked about the, you know, the antidote to that, which is obedience and keeping his commandments. God told them, obey my voice, obey my voice, obey my voice. Well, you know, they would, in their heart, they thought they would do it, but later on they said, well, we can't do it. And then they rejected his voice. And from that point on, it was spiral down trouble lane, you know, because you got to keep his word. The commandment is a lamp, and the law is almost like a tree of life. You keep that law, that's where you have the life. Praise the Lord. So today, we are instructed that as one man's disobedience caused him to lose everything, you know, the obedience of the other man, Christ, and us following in his footsteps will cause us to gain everything. Praise the Lord. Well, that's our lesson today. And I'm going to pray and ask you to join me in this prayer. Well, the Holy Spirit must help us. I mentioned this when I gave the story of Saul. We cannot, you know, divide the word of God and pick and choose the part that we want to do. Today, people do that. They look for things in the Bible that they like. And they, you know, they align themselves to those things. Other things that they don't like, they just toss it. They say, well, no, that's not what he meant. Or that doesn't matter. Okay. The moment you say the word of God doesn't matter, and you toss some part of it, you are as well guilty of all. We read that in James chapter 2 and verse 10. You keep many, the whole law even, but you break one part, intentionally throwing one part away, then you are guilty of all. So our prayer today is going to be, Lord, help me be 100% obedient to the word of God and to obey his voice. And as I've often said, and I will say it again before we pray, God's voice is in his word. Psalm 103 verse 20, hearkening to the voice of his word. Now, if you do not obey his written word, don't even think that you're going to get a chance for his spoken voice. You already have the written word. Abraham said it to the man who died and lifted up his eyes in hell and saw the beggar Lazarus, whose, you know, wounds were licked by his dog, on the other side with Abraham. And he wanted Abraham to send him back to go warn his brothers. And Abraham told him, no. If they have Moses, they have the prophets, they have the law. If they don't believe that, there is no vision or revelation or any other thing that will help them, even if you come back from the dead. So first, we obey his written word. Next, we obey every voice that the Holy Spirit will bring to us. And he will. So today I want us to pray that God will help us and lead us into complete obedience of the faith in the name of Jesus. Pray with me. Father, I pray for myself and all our people here today that have heard this word and those that may listen in later on.
Amen.
Grant us the grace, Lord, to be 100%
Amen.
Obedient to your Amen. Word. And not to be like Saul, that did part of it and claimed that he has obeyed.
Mm-hmm.
Teach us, Lord, what true obedience and complete obedience means. And deliver us from the spirit of disobedience and rebellion. Grant us, Father, true obedience. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.